The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Representing the province of Nova Scotia at Music Fest Canada in Toronto in May 2015, we are privileged and honored to have the choir group represent our region in a national light. Showcasing their musical talents and passions is an opportunity these students take very seriously and are extremely proud of. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to recognize two people in particular who understand the importance of music education and are very dedicated in their support of the Halifax Boys Honor Choir. Earl Leslie, a constituent of Halifax Armdale, is a representative of the choir who works hard to advance the group's performing goals and community presence. And Pam Burton, the director of the choir and the music specialist at John W. McLeod Fleming Tower School, located in Armdale. Mr. Speaker, I want to extend my very best wishes to the students as they represent our province in Toronto, and thank the dedicated people who work hard to support the choir and music education. Thank you very much.
Order, please. Time allotted for member statements has expired. We'll now move on to oral questions put by members to ministers. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Premier. It's becoming increasingly obvious to Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker, that this government does not know what it's doing when it made its changes to the film industry here in our province. And I'm not just referring to the tax credit itself, but the elimination of the Office of Film and Creative Industries Nova Scotia as well, Mr. Speaker. That office administered an independent production fund that in the last 2 years dispersed $3 million of private money, private investment, to the film industry, supporting 10 different productions, totaling $57 million in economic activity. Now that fund is in limbo. I'd like to ask the Premier, where does he expect the film industry to go now that he has eliminated this source of private funding?
The Honourable Premier.
I want to thank the Honourable Member for his question, Mr. Speaker, and I want to correct him. There's we have not in any way eliminated private citizens, private sources of funding into any entity across this province. What we have done, Mr. Speaker, is transferred the creative economy into NSBI. By all accounts, people are encouraged by that. They're looking at the export opportunities, Mr. Speaker. But I'm also encouraged by the conversation that is happening between the creative economy, the film industry, and government, that we can come to a resolution that works for everyone.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, this is no way to run a government, to make it up as you go along. The fact of the matter is that Film and Creative Industries Nova Scotia was the only CRTC-approved funder using private money to encourage our film industry. NSBI is not approved to do the things that the Film and Creative Industry Nova Scotia Association was approved to do. Now our film industry is going to have their own money used against them as those funds are forced to go somewhere else until the government gets its act together, Mr. Speaker. Why did the government act without ensuring that there was a proper fund in place for the use and encouragement of our growing film industry?
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to thank all those, Mr. Speaker, who have been working with government to come to a solution that works for them, as well as working for taxpayers, Mr. Speaker. I'm encouraged by the support that NSBI has been showing, reaching out to members of the industry, Mr. Speaker, with questions. We're going to continue to do that, Mr. Speaker, as we continue to move forward to ensure that not only can we build on the creative economy across this province, but that we move this province back to fiscal health.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, the Premier is not thanking our film industry. He is waving them goodbye by the actions that he has taken without knowing what he is doing, and this is just the latest example. Mr. Speaker, as we speak, real jobs, real productions are being lost, and now the money that's collected, private money to invest in our own homegrown Nova Scotia industry, is going to be spent promoting another province's film industry instead of our own, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask the Premier, will he ensure that Nova Scotia Business Inc. has the approvals in place right away so that not another job need be lost?
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I again want to say to the Honourable Member, NSBI is working with industry to make sure that all the transition is taking place in a proper way, and I want to tell him, Mr. Speaker, I had a good fortune meeting with three gentlemen from the film industry yesterday, met with others, very encouraged by the way they've conducted themselves, very thoughtful presentation they presented to me yesterday. We had a great conversation about how we can both meet the needs of the taxpayers in Nova Scotia, same as ensuring that we're supporting an industry that we all want in this province. And I've been very encouraged by the relationship that's taken place at the negotiating table between the industry and government.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Canadian National Institute for the Blind is one of the oldest and most respected charities in Canada. Since 1918, CNIB has helped people who are blind or partially sighted have the confidence and the skills to fully participate in life. They provide essential rehabilitation therapy to those who have lost their vision to help build their independence. And, Mr. Speaker, the program is now at risk because the McNeill government has slashed their budget by 30%. My question to the Premier is this. Where will people go to get these much-needed rehabilitation services if they've lost their vision, Mr. Speaker?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. And first of all, on behalf of all members of this House, and indeed all Nova Scotians, thank the CNIB for the tremendous work that they do here in our province. Thank them for the work that they've been doing, Mr. Speaker. And not only do they do it here, but they do it across our entire country. As the Honourable Member would know, as a former health minister, we have $4.1 million in the Department of Health that works with partners across many jurisdictions to help provide services to Nova Scotians who require extra support, and we will continue to do so.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her first supplementary.
Work that they did, Mr. Speaker, not work that they do. Mr. Speaker, CNIB isn't the only nonprofit organization whose funding has been slashed by the McNeill government. There's quite a long list, Mr. Speaker, of NGOs, the Deafness and Advocacy Association, the Canadian Mental Health Association, the Canadian Association for Community Living. I could go on. So my question to the Premier is this. Why isn't support for the province's most vulnerable a priority for the McNeill government?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank again the Honourable Member for the question and completely disagree with the premise of her question, Mr. Speaker. I don't question the motives of anyone in this House when it comes to supporting the most vulnerable citizens, Mr. Speaker, in our province. The reality of it is, Mr. Speaker, we have $4.1 million being spent on the Department of Health working with partners across many jurisdictions, across many communities, to provide services directly to Nova Scotians who need support. We are going to continue to do that by working with our partners to make sure that those Nova Scotians that require those services will get them here in our province.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, many of the groups were very shocked by the comments of the Minister of Community Services when these cuts were announced. She told reporters, and I quote, "I'm not looking at funding advocacy groups." And the minister also said, "These programs do not meet the department's core mandate." So my question to the Premier is quite simple. Does he agree with his Minister of Community Services that these groups are simply advocacy groups that no longer meet the core mandate of the McNeill government?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And let me be clear. The minister was very clearly telling all Nova Scotians that the money that is being spent on behalf of the people of this province will be, we will ensure that is being invested and being spent, Mr. Speaker, on those Nova Scotians that require those services, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, during debate on the 2013 NDP budget, the Liberal finance critic of the time actually strongly defended the film tax credit and said in debate in this chamber, and I quote, "It's very rare that I lose my temper here, but I heard the suggestion that we should get rid of the film tax credit. We introduced the film tax credit when the Liberals were in government. It has been strengthened over time with the support of all parties." Mr. Speaker, that critic is the now Minister of Finance for the province of Nova Scotia. Mr. Speaker, what changed? What changed, Mr. Speaker? Will the minister, now that she has a chance, reverse course on her plans for the film tax credit and bring in a new one that all parties can support?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the Leader of the Opposition. Mr. Speaker, I think it's important that we point out that there are funds in this year's budget to the same amount as last year, that there are discussions underway about how that's going to look in the future, that the tax credit has not been eliminated, that there are funds in the budget as well in the out years. And I think the most important thing is that we have agreed not to speak to the details of that because we're working in good faith with the industry. Thank you.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, we can only wonder what the critic of 2 years ago, who said it's very rare that she lose her temper, would say in answer in response to the answer of the current Minister of Finance being the same person. Mr. Speaker, there's more. The minister also said on that day 2 years ago, all parties know that the tax credit has created an industry where there was none, and went on to say, obviously we need it. We fight other provinces to have the best one and to bring people here. Mr. Speaker, what changed? We're all wondering what changed. Why does she no longer want to fight with other provinces to bring new people here?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Again, I think it's really important that all members know, and I said it here in estimates yesterday, that the next meeting that we'll be having is tomorrow morning with members and representatives of Screen Nova Scotia, that they are bringing their best ideas to the table, that in the previous two meetings, which have been lengthy and thoughtful and very frank discussions, there has been a good understanding on both parts about the numbers that have been presented, that we've had great understanding about where each side is coming from, and that we agreed to talk further. We also agreed that there would be no talking in the public about the details of that discussion. There will be no solution unless we work in good faith.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the McNeill government's decision to eliminate the film and creative Nova Scotia left an enormous void of support, most notably for participants of the Film 5 program administered by the Atlantic Filmmakers Cooperative. This is kind of an apprenticeship program for young filmmakers. And Daniel Bowes, a director in the Film 5 program, 26-year-old filmmaker, has had his work at international festivals. He was set to begin filming in a few weeks. He's auditioned actors. He's hired people for equipment.
Does a member have a question?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I want to ask the Premier if he can tell Daniel why, after a year of intensive planning, booking supplies, actors, and equipment, he's now going to have to put that all on hold, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. Remind all members of this House that the film tax credit, as it existed April 8th, Mr. Speaker, still exists in this province today. We budgeted for the same amount of money in this year's budget as was spent last year, Mr. Speaker. The same rules will apply. What we're talking about is on a go-forward basis with the industry. I'm pleased with the conversations that have been taking place with the industry, Mr. Speaker, and I look forward to continuing those to find a resolution with that the taxpayer in Nova Scotia can be happy with and the industry can be happy with.
Yeah, I'm a leader of the New Democratic Party.
But Mr. Speaker, the Premier needs to understand that more than the film tax credit was slashed and jeopardized, Mr. Speaker, The film and Creative Nova Scotia disappeared, and they had other programs, Mr. Speaker. For 20 years, this Film 5 program has produced some of the province's most successful and internationally renowned filmmakers, Tom Fitzgerald, Andrea Dorfman, Jason Eisenhower. So my question to the Premier is, what is the Premier's plan to support young filmmakers now that he's moved this program over to NSBI and nobody seems to know anything about it?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to tell her and all members of the House that NSBI has been in contact with members of the industry who were looking for information and concerns that they had since the April 9th budget was introduced. We're encouraged by those conversations. We understand, Mr. Speaker, that there's some uncertainty for people, as there is at any time there is change. But we are very encouraged by the conversation that we're having with Screen Nova Scotia, and hopefully we'll come to a resolution, Mr. Speaker, that can allow all sides to move forward in a way that they see fit.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, through a Freedom of Information request, our office has learned that over $42,000 was spent on renovations to the Premier's office. I remember last week when the Minister of Business said we are broke. Maybe today I should be asking for a definition of broke, but instead I will ask the Premier to please explain to all Nova Scotians why he felt the need to spend $42,000 of taxpayer money to renovate his office.
The Honourable Premier.
I want to thank, Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I'm not exactly sure what he's referring to. I will tell you my office, Mr. Speaker, has not had renovations done to it. My office has been there from when Premier Hamm was there. I think the only change in my office has been that a door had been relocated, Mr. Speaker. I don't believe that would cost $42,000, but my office exists the same way as it did before, Mr. Speaker. As a matter of fact, I don't even believe I've moved the desk.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I think this piece of information might refresh the Premier's memory a little bit, because I want to tell the members of this House that we did learn about this $42,000 through a Freedom of Information request, a request that yielded a half of page of information, and I will table that today. But our office had been told that it would take 5 hours to produce this half a page of information, and that the charge for that would be $30 an hour for anything over the top 2 hours. So my question to the Premier, did this half page of information really take 5 hours to compile, or was the charge an attempt to prevent our caucus from learning about taxpayer-sponsored renovations to the Premier's
office? The Honourable Premier.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a Freedom of Information request, Mr. Speaker. I know this may come as a surprise to the member opposite, but the Freedom of Information officers don't call me to ask me about what they should be charging people, Mr. Speaker. There are many more pressing issues facing our province, Mr. Speaker, than whether or not we're going to charge the Honourable Member for Freedom. But I can tell you, Mr. Speaker, the office that I have the good fortune of sitting in today on behalf of the people of this province has not changed, Mr. Speaker, other than a door had been changed, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Minister of TIR, who has now inherited the blue nose. Mr. Speaker, according to the briefing note prepared for the Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage, and obtained through a Freedom of Information request, the approved project budget for the Blue Nose 2 was $19.6 million. The remaining budgeted funds as of March the 9th were $617,252. And, Mr. Speaker, I will table that information. We know the project has already been dogged by costly overruns, and taxpayers have expressed concern about the handling of this project to date. So my question for the Minister is, what assurance can the Minister who inherited the Blue Nose 2 file offer this host that the project will be completed within the budget outlined in his colleague's briefing notes?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I think that the assurances with respect to the Blue Nose are all based on the AG's report. I think that Michael Pickup gave us a very good picture of what this file looked like from 2008 when the file was initiated for the Blue Nose project, what the process has been, what the timeline has been, what the expenditures have been since that point up to present day. What I can tell the member opposite is I've been down to Lunenburg 3 times so far. I have a full commitment to get back there as often as I can for the steering committee meetings. We've got tremendous staff working directly on the Blue Nose, Mr. Speaker. We're going to follow the AG's recommendations. We're going to get this right. We're going to do our very best, and we look forward to the spring when we get a real good look at the vote. All Nova Scotians can get a real good look at the Blue Nose to see what's happening. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
I want to thank the Minister for that answer, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, according to the March 9 briefing note, there remains a number of outstanding issues before the vessel can resume regular operations. The document also says a firm date has not been established for moving the Blue Nose 2 into regular operations. Mr. Speaker, that was prepared on March the 9th. We're now at April the 21st. Can the Minister of Transportation now reveal a firm date for when the Blue Nose 2 will move into regular operations?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this point, currently, with respect to the steering committee and their work to have the vessel sailing once again, there are a number of deliverables that have to be reached. Some are technical and relate to the ship directly. Others are about the manuals, the international certification requirements for Transport Canada, those types of pieces. So there's a very great knowledge base in Lunenburg. The people who are on the Historical Society, the museum committee who are supporting this project, the LSA, the Shipyard Alliance, who have built the vessel, who have done tremendous work despite some of the challenges, again, as outlined by the AG. At the end of the day, Mr. Speaker, I want to tell the member opposite and all Nova Scotians, Lunenburg, the people of Lunenburg who I spoke with, the many who are represented here in the House by elected officials, they're positive about the Blue Nose, Mr. Speaker. They want to change the channel and get to the positive news that this is a sailing icon for us, and we've got to get it back in the water as soon as we possibly can. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for the Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition. Sorry. The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, until last week, the Partnerships and Training Program was administered by the now eliminated Film and Creative Industries Nova Scotia. And this program was a longtime supporter of the Centre for Art Tapes. Becca Barker, an educator in the film industry, phoned NSBI yesterday to inquire about the status of that program and was told that NSBI has no information about what their responsibilities will be regarding any of the programs formerly belonging to the film and Creative Nova Scotia. So I want to ask the Premier if he would explain why Film and Creative Nova Scotia was eliminated and some of the programs were moved to NSBI, but with no plan in place, Mr.
The Honourable
Speaker.
Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to assure her that they were moved to NSBI. It is, Mr. Speaker, there was expertise in exporting and expertise in driving, Mr. Speaker, economic growth in sectors. To the member referenced the name in her question. I'm not sure why the person she'd been speaking to would have given her that information, but we'd be more than happy to try to find that out for her and present that response.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, Film and Creative Industries Nova Scotia was a centre of excellence for economic development of our film and creative sectors. And with the move of some of the programs over to NSBI, the province is losing expertise of an organization that had nearly 30 years' experience working in this sector. And there doesn't appear to be anyone on staff or on the board at NSBI who has a specific background in the economics of cultural industries. Mr. Speaker, I want the Premier to please explain how NSBI is going to be able to assist members of the film and creative sectors when it has no prior experience, expertise, or background working in the industry.
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I'll ask the Minister responsible for NSBI to respond.
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the member opposite for the question. I just want to remind the member that in the transition from the former department to NSBI, we recognize the need for subject matter expertise in NSBI. Three resources from the former department. with expertise in tax, film, and music have gone to NSBI. We recognize that there are priorities and the need to continue with ongoing work. We have three additional resources that will work within NSBI to meet the needs of those who are challenged by the opportunities to continue with the film industry in this province.
The Honourable Member for Inverness.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Gaelic Affairs. Mr. Speaker, we have a budget for Gaelic Affairs that is determined by the Minister of Culture. But it is the Minister of Gaelic Affairs who is ultimately responsible for this office. The Minister's own constituency of Antigonish is one of the prime beneficiaries of the work of this office. Why didn't the Minister stand up for the Gaelic community when his government proposed eliminating two of five positions in this small office?
The Honourable Minister responsible for the Office of Gaelic Affairs.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member opposite for the question of this important area of cultural contributions to the province of Nova Scotia. Mr. Speaker, as I've mentioned previously, the positions that were cut, unfortunate for the individuals affected, whom I knew personally, were primarily focused on administrative aspects in the Office of Gaelic Affairs. We're able to provide those services in a more efficient and effective way by collaborating and joining forces with community culture and heritage. Mr. Speaker, we maintained the cultural on-the-ground core program delivery funding and positions. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Inverness.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I know the Gaelic community will see that as a very weak defence. We keep hearing from the government that it was only an administrative cut. They don't seem to know about the education, the translation, the communications work that was being provided by these employees. Will the minister restore funding to the Gaelic Affairs Office so that he can return proudly to the Highland Heart of Nova Scotia, his own constituency?
The Honourable Minister responsible for the Office of Gaelic Affairs.
Mr. Speaker, through you, I'd like to certainly advise the member opposite that I always return proudly to the Highland Heart of Nova Scotia, Mr. Speaker. And, Mr. Speaker, when I return to my office here and in this legislature, Mr. Speaker, I also come from the Highland Heart of Nova Scotia, proudly to represent the constituents of Antigonish. Mr. Speaker, with respect to the position, as I'd indicated, Mr. Speaker, those positions primarily focused on administrative aspects, Mr. Speaker, well aware of the work of those two affected individuals were, Mr. Speaker. In fact, the Office of Gaelic Affairs is right down the hall from my constituency office, Mr. Speaker. I know these individuals personally, well aware of the work that they were doing, Mr. Speaker, and I'm confident that we can continue to deliver on the mandate, the core mandate, and deliver the services for Gaelic Affairs in the province of Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Minister of Transportation. Nova Scotia Vehicle Compliance is responsible for the safety for all road users and protection of infrastructure. My understanding is that there are 12 mobile inspection territories within the province. But it is also my understanding that there are several vacant positions that have not been filled. Some positions have been vacant since August of 2014. Will the minister confirm there is a staffing issue and whether or not these vacant positions will be filled, and if so, when?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the member of the Vehicle Compliance. Certainly an important aspect of our complement of road safety in the province. There are, for the mobile unit, there are 13 positions across the province. There are three vacancies at this point. I've spoken to Dan Leopold as recently today, who's the director for vehicle compliance. He assures me that the search is active for to fill those three positions, and they will be filled within the next few months. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Minister for his answer. In addition to holes in the compliance coverage in the province, many public complaints about safety are not being addressed, especially in my constituency of Pictou West, which represents Vehicle Compliance Area 87. I received many, many calls regarding the salt trucks traveling the Sunrise Trail this winter. In fact, calls became so overwhelming that I had discussions with RCMP, who are immediately working working on monitoring the area more. Can the minister explain why this area is currently understaffed and not being monitored to the degree it should be, considering that Pictou County actually has the second highest registration for commercial vehicles next to the HRM?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have any of the information the member just mentioned. I've never heard of that issue whatsoever. The member may be getting many calls, as she suggested. They must be local calls. I haven't had any of those. Dan is very competent. He's very capable, and he usually gets me information of anything that's pressing, so I'd be happy to collect that information from the member and explore it as best I can. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Sackville-Cobequid.
Mr. Speaker, in November 2014, the Minister of Health announced funding grants to 23 not-for-profit organizations that provided support for individuals living with mental illness and addictions. In the release, the Minister was quoted as saying, "There is clearly a need for more access to mental health and addiction support." So my question for the Minister, given the need for more mental health and addiction support, why did he cut grants to these organizations?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and pleased to tell the Honourable Member that while we have taken a percentage of grants right across the Department of Health this year, I'm very pleased and proud that our government added $1.1 million to mental health delivery this year.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, in the same press release, the Minister of Health said, and I quote, "We can never lose sight of the critical role community support plays in recovery and well-being of someone living with a mental health or addiction," Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, 6 months later, the McNeill government has already cut funding to these same organizations it promised to support. So I'd like to ask the Minister, over the last 6 months, the Minister supported over 6 months ago, the minister supported organizations that provided this important information and support for those living with mental health and addiction services. What happened that changed his views?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Pleased to tell the Honourable Member that as we look at the report of Dr. Jana Davidson, who took a look at all of the mental health work relating to adolescents in our province, the focus was to do a great deal more work in the early years, and I'm pleased to say that in our two budgets to date, we have added to the Schools Plus program, and that's what's going to make the real difference in our province.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. My question is for the Minister of Energy. Last year, we saw the government reconfigure Efficiency Nova Scotia. And at the time, the Premier defended the new structure, saying the new standalone Efficiency Nova Scotia entity is actually driving down fuel costs, which in turn ensure that power rates go down. Meanwhile, according to a media report, Nova Scotia Power is saying that Efficiency Services will actually add up to 3.1% to power bills. So my question for the Minister is, does the government still say that their plan will drive down rates when the utility is saying the exact opposite?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Mr. Speaker, the legislation that was created was meant that Efficiency would put in their requests for funds to carry out their programming, while Nova Scotia Power would present what they believed was the appropriate amount that should be invested. The legislation was such that the Utility Review Board will meet to hear this matter, look at what's been presented from both parties, and at the end of the day, make a ruling as to what the appropriate amount of funding for Efficiency Nova Scotia should be. We have made it extremely clear to the Utility and Review Board that we do not want to see the funding of Efficiency Nova Scotia have any impact on the rates paid by Nova Scotians.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and we appreciate the little history lesson. But Nova Scotians will certainly remember the Premier saying that he would break the monopoly and that he would reduce power rates. Well, a Nova Scotia Power pamphlet compared 2014 rates to 2015 rates, and despite the Liberals claiming the efficiency fee is eliminated, rates remain the same. So my question, Mr. Speaker, is, while Nova Scotians were expecting real change to lower electrical rates, when will they see that instead of hearing more Liberal double talk and schemes?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Mr. Speaker, the legislation that was passed by this government has been working, and the fact that Efficiency Nova Scotia is helping Nova Scotians reduce their demand on power, which is going to help lower rates in this province and make power more affordable for all Nova Scotians. Mr. Speaker, what Nova Scotians were looking for in the last election is a party that was going to come with a real plan, instead of a party in the official opposition, which I believe at the time was playing a little bit on the movie Frozen and thinking that the leader of the official opposition could be like Elsa and just somehow freeze power rates and just magically do so. So, Speaker, Nova Scotians voted for a real plan. That plan is working.
The Honourable Member for King's North.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Agriculture. Mr. Speaker, in the days since the budget, we have heard many comments from the government about how much the people who work in the film industry are valued. However, it recently came to light that the Minister of Agriculture's executive assistant had been using social media to criticize the film industry. I understand that the staff member has since apologized to the industry for the remarks. My question, Mr. Speaker, for the minister is this. Would the minister also like to express an apology to the members of the film industry who are here with us today and assure them that this government has far greater respect for them than the unfortunate comments on social media would reflect?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. This indeed is a very unfortunate incident, and I'm very, very disappointed that a person that works with me made such comments, and I want to apologize to the industry. It didn't reflect me. I had nothing to do with this. The government, it doesn't reflect government policy. I think it was totally unacceptable.
The Honourable Member for King's North.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank the Minister for that apology. The ongoing negotiations with the film industry are under a media blackout, and this industry needs to feel that there is confidence and goodwill from the government as they continue those negotiations. Social media is a venue for individuals to express free speech, but in government positions it is important that employees be respectful of others. Will the Minister confirm to this that the government does have a policy on social media to ensure that this does not happen again and potentially undermine government negotiations?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for this very important question. I can assure you any employee under my jurisdiction will not be using social media for this kind of activity ever again.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. By eliminating the successful agency, Film and Creative Industries Nova Scotia, the McNeill government has thrown the future of the youth-based Film 5 program into complete chaos. The youth who depend on this program aren't even sure it still exists. Some of them are here today looking for answers. 25-year-old producer Dominic Fagan's film Paper Thin was scheduled to begin filming next month, but because of the lack of vision and planning by this government, this young filmmaker's project is now in jeopardy. My question for the Premier is this. What is his plan to provide on-the-job training for young Nova Scotian filmmakers like Dominic? Or is this government going to continue with the old adage, don't call us, we'll call you?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank all members of this province who call my office, or whether it's the Premier's office or my constituency office. I appreciate hearing from Nova Scotians. Mr. Speaker, over the last number of weeks, we've heard from Nova Scotians who are involved in the creative economy and those who aren't, expressing their opinions on policy positions that government has taken. It is part of that, Mr. Speaker. It's been part of the conversation that's taken place with Screen Nova Scotia to come to a point where, Mr. Speaker, all sides believe the direction the province is going is fair to everyone, and we look forward to continuing those conversations.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Dominic Fagan says he feels like the McNeill government slammed the door on his career before it even starts. Young filmmakers are now having to look at other provinces for opportunities that they need to build successful careers in the creative economy, as I once had to do. So I stand before you today, Mr. Speaker, asking on behalf of Nova Scotia's youth, why is the Premier driving young Nova Scotians away with his hasty decision to dismantle the creative and film industries without a backup plan?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the honourable member for her question. I want to remind her, Mr. Speaker, there was $6 million in this budget for the digital rebate, Mr. Speaker. There's an additional $6 million for the film industry. There's an additional $6 million, Mr. Speaker, that has been set aside for the creative economy, $4 million of which is for the film industry. Another million, $2 million, Mr. Speaker, would be for recording and as well as publishing. Though that is not a government that has turned its back on the creative economy. Mr. Speaker, we though have heard from some members of the creative economy that the delivery model we're using doesn't work for them. I'm very proud of the way they've responded to sit down with government to say, okay, here's the fiscal envelope. How can we best change this so we can use the delivery model that works for them? I've been encouraged by the way they've shown such great leadership, Mr. Speaker, on working with government. We're going to continue to work with them, no matter how much rhetoric comes from this floor, and find a solution that works for Nova Scotia.
The honourable member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Natural Resources. The Mining Association of Nova Scotia asked and received a promise from this government for the removal of the motor fuel tax for the mining and quarry sector. Last week, the Minister of Natural Resources said, and I quote, "The indication that we have given to the Mining Association was that this credit would be looked at and distributed over the course of our mandate." I hope the Minister has had a chance to reflect on that statement over the weekend. My question is simply, does the Minister stand by his answer he gave with regard to when his government promised to remove the motor fuel tax for the mining sector?
The Honourable Minister of Natural Resources.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. We've made it very clear that this government has a priority to restore fiscal health to this province, Mr. Speaker. It needs to be made clear to everybody that is to ensure future generations aren't saddled with crippling levels of debt or deficits, and so that we can fund the core services that this government needs to provide to Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker. When it comes to taxation questions, we are looking at all of those, and we still have on our agenda to provide that tax credit, Mr. Speaker, but we will not do it before we can afford to.
The honourable member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, in a letter to the Mining Association of Nova Scotia, dated May 13, 2014, the Minister of Finance confirms that the Liberal government will remove the motor fuel tax for the mining and quarry sectors over the final 3 years of the government's mandate. Given that the normal mandate for a government is 4 years, the fuel tax removal should have begun its phase in during this budget. In addition, in a November 10, 2024 news release, the Minister of Natural Resources said the government will start phasing in a fuel tax rebate program for mining and quarrying vehicles and introduce a revised Mineral Resources Act in 2015. My question to the minister, why won't the minister admit that he was unable to follow through on a clear promise he made to members of the mining industry?
The Honourable Minister of Natural Resources.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Where this is a question related to taxation, I will refer the second part of this question to the Minister of Finance.
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I'm pleased to talk to this subject as well about the fuel tax rebate, which is a rebate that's offered to farming and to fishing, and the mining industry felt as well that they have vehicles that don't go on our roads that should have the same benefit. And Mr. Speaker, the commitment remains. We promised to do it within this mandate, but what the problem we ran into was that you couldn't do it in phases, that it's going to match the farming and fishing and it needs to be done at one time. So that's why we've committed to do that within this mandate.
The honourable member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Minister of Business. Mr. Speaker, Nova Scotia trucking companies haul millions of kilograms of freight annually across North America. On April 1st, it was announced that in this legislature that a 3% increase in trucking fees seemed reasonable to the government. This despite the fact a commercial trucker hauling more than 6,000 kgs will now pay $4,012.15 annually for a licensing fee. So my question to the minister is quite simple. How many trucking companies did the minister consult to see if they thought that 3% was a reasonable increase?
The honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And let me first acknowledge the value of our trucking industry to the movement of goods and services throughout the province and to other areas of the country. The fee associated to truckers, obviously, Mr. Speaker, The trucks themselves cause greater damage to the surface of our highways, and the intent is not full recovery, Mr. Speaker, but the 3% increase is a across-the-board fee increase that addresses the opportunity for government to generate some support to continue to provide that road surface structure in the province.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, for the Minister's information, commercial trucking license fees have increased 15.8% in just the last 7 years here in Nova Scotia. In recent years, they have been seeing five increases, ranging from anywhere from 2% to nearly 6%. Government talks about user fees being imposed to cover costs, but surely, Mr. Speaker, surely it can't cost this amount of money to print off a commercial trucking license. Mr. Speaker, how can the Minister really justify a 15.8% increase over 7 years as just another fee increase?
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank the Honourable Member for the question. I do want to remind the Member that the fees are not specific to recovery of the cost of printing of a license, but the fees are intended to reflect a much broader application of the need to continue to provide that road service and in some way, Mr. Speaker, continue to support that mechanism in the province.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, eating disorders have the highest mortality rate of any mental illness. 10% of those diagnosed with an eating disorder will die within 10 years. According to the Canadian Institute for Health Information, the number of women admitted to hospital emergency rooms because of eating disorders tripled between 2010 and 2013 in Nova Scotia. Despite this fact, Mr. Speaker, the Minister has reduced funding for eating disorder support groups in his budget. So I'd like to ask the Minister, how can the Minister justify cutting resources for people struggling with eating disorders when a growing number of people are accessing our healthcare system looking for help?
The Honourable Minister of Health and Wellness.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I know a number of our organizations had a reduction in their budget. They haven't been eliminated from the support of the Department of Health and Wellness, and we will continue to support those organizations to the extent that it is currently possible. But one of the good news stories here is the additional work with eating disorders that is taking place through the IWK program.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, in May 2012, the previous government released the province's first mental health and addiction strategy. One of the key actions that was to include funding community agencies to help Nova Scotians living with mental illness and addiction. Now the McNeill is cutting those grants to mental health and addiction services. These organizations play an important role in getting someone healthy, Mr. Speaker, that go far beyond what you can get in the emergency rooms and in the hospitals here in Nova Scotia. Why isn't the Minister of Health supporting agencies trying to help Nova Scotians with mental health issues like eating disorders?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and a member opposite raises an important issue for Nova Scotians that we be aware of doing all we can to support those with eating disorders, mental health problems, and we know that by investing a great deal more through the school programs, we will have, in fact, both immediate and long-term success.
The Honourable Minister, Member for Northside Westmount.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, yesterday we learned an associate professor at the Nova Scotia College of Art and Design allegedly used a camera in a bathroom to capture images of a former student. Police have charged him with voyeurism. The victim told CBC News that she is deeply hurt and affected by the events that happened that day with Jean, someone who she had known and trusted for many years. And I'll table that, Mr. Speaker. She added that she is troubled by the position of trust and the direct interaction that he continues to have daily with young men and women at NASCAD. And, Mr. Speaker, so are we. The President has made public statement about the charges and said due process will be followed. Further information will be provided. My question to the Minister is, will she confirm that the professor is still working at NASCAD today And if so, will she immediately inform the House if she has placed any restrictions on his interaction with students as he awaits his trial date?
The Honourable Minister of Labour and Advanced Education.
I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question, and I do believe that the University will be handling this with their faculty member. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Mr. Speaker, NASCAD is funded by tax dollars, and the people who work there for the school represent and reflect not only the University but the province. The accused will certainly have his day in court, but the minister is ultimately responsible for safety and well-being of the students. So my question is, can the minister assure students that this type of action will not occur on school property?
The Honourable Minister of Labour and Advanced Education.
I'd like to thank the Honourable Member for the questions. I've made it clear to the universities that I expect their premises to be safe for all students, and I expect them to act accordingly. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of DTIR. Last year, pothole season lasted throughout the summer and late into fall in Kings County. In fact, some never got done. This hard winter has added a considerable number of potholes. Mr. Speaker, my question for the Minister is this. Can the Minister confirm that enough resources and staff have been allocated to get the job done for pothole season this year in Kings County?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's certainly an important question for Kings County, but also for all regions of the province. Just like the winter budget, Mr. Speaker, which is tied with the summer budget in terms of the annual allotment, if one goes up, one's affected and vice versa. At the end of the day, Mr. Speaker, we don't spare any resources. We don't spare staff, materials, time, energy. When it comes to pothole seasons, it's a dangerous reality on our roads. Certainly impacts not only the financial coffers of Nova Scotians when they hit potholes and have that added expense, but it's also about safety, Mr. Speaker. So despite the tough winter we had and the significant potholes, we certainly won't sacrifice resources, and we'll look after them as we do every other year as best we possibly can. Thank you very much.
Honourable Member for Kings North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the Minister for that answer. Last summer in Kings County also there was a considerable amount of protests which occurred over roadside brush trimming, which was not which has really kind of been falling behind. And I'd just like to ask the Minister, can he confirm that roadside brush trimming will be on his agenda this summer for Kings County?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
You know, Mr. Speaker, there's a lot of things we look at in transportation. You know, there's
order,
a,
please.
Time allotted for oral questions by members to ministers has expired. Just before we move on to government business and a couple of other agenda items, I just want to take a minute to remind all members that oral questions put by members to ministers, the guidelines for the questions, the member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River posed a question on behalf of a constituent, and that is not permitted. So we want to just be mindful of the phrasing of how we bring forth such questions. And also the question earlier about from the member for Northside Westmount on the NASCAD case, that is a matter before the courts, and it is not within our purview to pose any questions about judicial matters that are in fact being considered by our court. Just a friendly reminder, the Honourable Minister of Agriculture and Aquaculture.
Thank you.